Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Today we're joined by Bala Janakiraman, Chief Executive Officer at Onbe, as well as Mercator's own Tim Sloan, our Vice President of Payments Innovation. The discussion opens with an overview of Onbe's recent Future of Payments survey and four key data points, followed by data and insights detailing the importance of speed, choice, and convenience in consumer disbursement payments. Next, an exploration of crypto and consumer attitudes. Over the course of the discussion, four keys rose to the surface as arguably the most important. One was the desire for digital by consumers. The other is the want of more choices at the point of disbursement. Third is speed. And lastly is convenience. Without further ado, let's take it to the show. So Bala, there is a fantastic infographic in, I think it's page 3 of the Future of Payments report, details four different statistics around disbursement payments and consumers' rationales for using them. Why don't we kick it off by just walking through some of these statistics and you can tell us about the report itself and also, you know, some of the insights that you've gained that are specifically in that infographic.
Thanks for the question. So let me give you an overview of how we approach understanding the consumer's choice for payments. So we regularly poll consumers to make sure we understand what's on their mind as they think about the best way in which they want to receive payments. So one of the means that we use is regular surveys, and that's the report that you're referring to. And the report was kind of timely given everything that's gone on in the economy over the last couple of years, including our lives. We thought it might be helpful to get a gauge on what is it that consumers are thinking as they receive disbursements from businesses. So what our survey uncovered was that there were four main reasons for receiving disbursements for consumers. The first one was payments for work. So if you are a contractor, you are a worker in the gig economy, you're usually getting some form of disbursement for services you deliver. So that's one. We also see payments being received by consumers for refunds and rewards. So you could have overpaid for example, a utility bill, and the utility provider might be sending you a payment for that overpayment in the form of a refund. So that's the second reason they get a disbursement. The third reason is when there is an incentive to buy a product, could be a washing machine, could be a TV, and the reward payment for that is also sent to the consumer. And finally, I think given the context of the last couple of years during the pandemic, many consumers receive stimulus payments from various governments. So that's the fourth way in which people have received disbursements. So it kind of unpacks the most common areas in a consumer's life when they get payments delivered to them from a business. And it was an opportunity for us to understand how best do they want to receive those payments and what's top of mind for them when they receive those payments. So let me pause there and open up for further thoughts or questions from you.
You know, Bala, it's interesting because Mercator also does a lot of research with consumers, and it mirrors very closely what you show here. What's interesting also, though, is that those gig workers are growing in size and scale, and that the relationship between a gig worker and their employer has shifted because of the ability for the employer to provide wages earlier, to have it connected directly to the work that they're doing, right down to a particular task that they need to finish in order to receive compensation. And so in part, this is about what the consumer sees, but it's also in part being driven by what the sender is trying to accomplish with the process that they have tied to payments. So it's a fascinating linkage between how people see it and how the sender sees it, because there's a benefit for both.
I couldn't agree more with you, Tim. I think as businesses think about utilizing temp workers or contract workers, there is definitely the need to accelerate payments from the business's standpoint to be delivered at the time the service was being completed versus waiting for what could be a typical payroll cycle every 2 weeks or every month. So there is definitely the need for businesses to complete payments as soon as possible. And then on the flip side, for the consumer, they want to get paid when the service is being completed. So it's actually a great combination of drivers, both from the business side and the consumer side. And we are seeing that it creates opportunities for folks that want to make that interaction as friction-free as possible from a payments delivery standpoint.
I actually had been doing a report on incentives about 3 years ago, and the behavioral experts looked at the difference between having an incentive, a nudge pushed directly at the time of the task versus being delivered 10 hours later, next day. And the difference is just striking. If you nudge them as soon as they make that sale or whatever it is that you're going to give them a reward for, getting it there fast and making sure it's associated with that task works.
Yeah, and that's something we uncovered in our survey as well, that the second most important factor as consumers think about how they want to get paid is speed. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep an alignment between when the work was completed and when they're getting paid. And for various reasons, right? It could just be regular compensation. It could also be a sales reward or a commission payment. And you want to tie it as close as possible to the job being completed. So there is certainly a need from the consumer side to say, pay me when the task is complete or when I've achieved my goal, so that there is connectivity between the objective and when it was completed.
This is old news, but Mazda about 4 years ago developed a program that when the sales rep moved the title off of the dealership to a consumer, that at that moment their phone would beep, their card would receive the money that was due for commissions on that sale. And it really helped them drive their sales team forward.
Yeah, and we see that pattern showing up with many of our enterprise clients too, because I talked about the number two factor from a consumer standpoint being speed. The number one factor is choice. So the consumers want to get paid in a modality that's the most convenient for them. So in the example you laid out, perhaps they wanted it straight on their mobile phone, or they maybe wanted to be notified that a payment went into their bank account and you got a text message saying that the payment is completed. But ultimately, it comes down to the choice that the consumer wants to have in how best they want to get paid, because the old ways of doing it, in the absence of some of the newer technology that we have deployed right now, you have to resort to biweekly or weekly payroll runs, or worse, you got to mail a check to the consumer. And that's definitely not advocating for choice from a recipient standpoint. I think consumers have a variety of means to interact with the real world today, whether they want to get the payment straight to their debit card through a push to debit, or they want it straight to their mobile wallet so that right after they get paid, they want to go out and transact. So the choice factor is becoming more and more important, as we've seen in our survey.
What's also interesting is the range of P2P tools that are out there actually allow the individual to see that they have that choice. They can decide to let the funds stay within the P2P environment. They can decide to link it to their debit card, for instance. They can decide to attach it to their checking account so that it gets ACH'd in. And that makes them aware. It makes them realize this can be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, it's the plethora of options that are manifesting itself in the economy today. And I think it's important for brands to be conscious about, what is it that my recipient wants? How do they want to get paid? How soon do they want to get paid? And what are the technology choices beyond checks and payroll that the brand or the enterprise can deploy to make sure that they can provide a satisfying recipient experience for consumers that are receiving the disbursements?
Totally agree.
Very interesting there. Before I move on, because I'd like to talk about one of the hottest topics in 2022, which is the crypto market and sort of the emerging maturity. Does that sound right? Maybe not. Nonetheless, I wanted to offer us an opportunity. Was there anything else that we feel we want to touch on when it comes to disbursement payments and the future of payments, whether it's this year or in the near future? Was there any last territory we wanted to make sure we discussed before moving our conversation to a new arena?
Yeah, I'll say that as with any technological innovation, we've seen with things like crypto, the younger demographic is certainly keen more keen, I'd say, to experiment with it. We've noticed in our survey that there is a good proportion of the younger generation that are open to transacting with cryptocurrencies. So we did the survey in 2020. At that time, the desire or intention to use crypto was about 5% in the younger demographic. By the younger demographic, I mean folks in the 18 to 24 years range. That same cohort in 2021, the intention to use crypto was up to 10%. So we are certainly seeing the desire to utilize crypto to receive payments. And it also means that there are more ways to use crypto in sending payments from a consumer standpoint, more merchants that they can transact buy products and services using crypto. So we are certainly seeing a pickup in interest, but it's still not yet mainstream. So as you go through the cohorts, the various age cohorts that we see in our survey, certainly as we cross the 40 years and above range, it's less likely that they want to transact with crypto. But it's something that, you know, as brands and as providers of disbursement technology to clients, we pay close attention to, because what could be a small blip right now could become a major trend in the next 24 to 36 months. So we are certainly watching to make sure that crypto stays top of mind for brands, and we have a point of view to share with them on how they can utilize crypto to meet the emerging needs from a disbursement standpoint.
You know, crypto is a tricky little area in that I think we can see tremendous interest in crypto as an asset, as everybody has seen the growth in crypto and heard about crypto millionaires. There becomes this real drive to invest in crypto. Payments, on the other hand, is a lot trickier and is still an evolving kind of area. You have the crypto exchanges that have their own wallets. They all interact at the merchant location in a different way. You have acquirers who are trying to enable that crypto acceptance for the consumers that have crypto. And you have the card networks who have now shown that they can link a traditional card into both a checking account as well as a crypto account and allow the consumer to identify which they want to use right at the point of sale. And I guess those card networks have some advantages, right? They have rewards and zero liability and other benefits, not to mention they can support use cases crypto can't, such as tipping at the restaurant or lodging where there's a hold on your account. So that acceptance area is really evolving, and it's evolving rapidly as some really big players battle each other to say what's the right way to be able to accept crypto. So that's one to watch closely.
I completely agree with you. I think, you know, it's the emerging areas in payments, and we don't quite know how this is going to get to mass market adoption. But you got to pay attention to the desire from a consumer standpoint to own crypto and to use crypto. And you're certainly going to find, if you provide crypto as a disbursement option, brands are not going to be surprised that there is going to be several takers within the recipient base that are very comfortable getting paid in crypto versus other forms of disbursement. So that's really the key insight here, that brands and enterprises should understand that the consumers and individuals are a lot more comfortable. Maybe a lot is more specific to a certain age group versus being mass market. But certainly in certain cohorts, consumers are more comfortable receiving crypto-based payments than otherwise. And that's a trend to watch, and that's a trend to prepare for.
That's brilliant, Bala, because that goes to the I'd like to have it as an asset kind of mind frame, which all the consumers have. Some of the rewards cards that now offer crypto as a rewards is a great example of that. I don't have to figure out how to buy it. I'll receive it simply by doing what I do today.
Yeah, we certainly see that desire amongst the folks that we surveyed in our study, the desire to get paid in crypto so they can accumulate it.
So we mentioned earlier the sort of age gap between cohorts, that younger consumers seem to have doubled in interest between 18 and 24-year-olds between 2020 and 2021, whereas older consumers seem to be not as engaged. Bala, I'm curious if there are other elements at play that we want to discuss for the generation gap in paytech adoption. Are there other details we want to itemize there?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. What we also saw was, you know, beyond the crypto topic that we just discussed right now, there is certainly a desire to receive payments in a digital fashion. So everything that we've seen in payments over the last couple of years, there has been that march towards more digitization. And there is certainly a desire for folks not to receive as much in checks, the desire not to use cash as a transaction mechanism. By no means am I saying that cash and checks are going to go away, but more and more we see that the younger demographic wants to use digital means of payments and not really want to deal with traditional paper-based means of payments. So that's, again, a trend that brands and enterprises have to keep in mind, that in the traditional world, if you are predominantly sending out checks for disbursements, that's not a mode that your consumers and your recipients are keen to receive, because it's not instant and it doesn't drive choice. So figuring out how to do digital disbursements with the choice for the consumers at the point of receipt is super important for brands, because this is rapidly evolving. Even the last couple of years, we've seen a big shift in consuming and utilizing digital payments.
Totally agree with all of that, Paula.
Paula, kind of an open-ended question, just sort of writ large. Were there any other elements of the future of payment study that you feel that we didn't get to cover in depth, or that you'd like to add a little bit more attention to?
Yeah, I'd go back and summarize the important points here, right? There is a desire for recipients to receive disbursements in a digital fashion. They want to have more choices at the point of disbursement. One-size-fits-all approach is less likely to create a satisfying consumer and recipient experience. So it's important for brands to figure out how can they provide choice, digital choice, at the point of disbursement. And then speed and convenience are the next set of factors that are important for consumers, because they want it to be instant. They want it to show up in their digital wallets or the P2P wallet so that they can use the money to transact right away. So those, I would say, are the key thing, the key three themes that showed up in our survey. And that's something for brands and for enterprises to keep in mind as they evaluate their disbursement strategy for what's emerging to be a fascinating future in payments.